This is Christiane, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
Irvitis, good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you WrestleTalk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me,
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm kind of grooving out to the music, so excuse me for that little delay there. It is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, and we are bringing you another edition of the premier wrestling news show on the internet. And I am, of course, joined by my buddies, Mace.
Jeez, Omega, could you like give us any more props to make Tim's ego any bigger? We can't exactly breathe in here, man.
Oh, but you know, someone needs to fill space because Spug and Will have yet to show up. So until they do, it is just you, it is just me, and it is just the man himself, Mr. Tim Stein.
Lay down on buggy and play that funky music till you die. Oh yeah, funky white boy. Funky white
what?
Boy? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
I am not nearly funky enough for that.
No.
I do not acknowledge somebody who had the nickname Funky White Boy.
No, no, we won't talk about who you're talking about, Mace, but that song was actually an honor to you. You're actually in the minority tonight, and that's not any kind of a racial overtone or anything like that, but being from the land down under, carrying this under, as it were. Of course, you're in Monday land, so when we say Happy Hip Hop Day, well, we're basically a day late when it concerns you, I guess.
Yes, you can all have your little chocolate hangovers to yourselves.
Yeah, chocolate. You see, I didn't bother buying any chocolates for Easter or anything like that. I'm waiting until tomorrow when the Real Canadian Superstore is open and everything's 75% off, so that $3.50 solid chocolate egg and solid chocolate bunny and solid chocolate fire truck and...
Fire truck?
Fire truck? What? Shut up! Go back to bed! Go! Hang on a sec. Go back to bed! I'm busy! Women. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've got a woman there.
Well, I did once. Anyway. Welcome, everybody, to WTR Sunday Night. That's right. Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com, the place where you can also find OWW Radio Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern. Hey, you know what? If you're not busy and don't feel like masturbating on Fridays, you can listen to Running the Ropes Fridays at 6 Eastern. Whatever. You know, and, of course, Saturday night, hey, CB Radio, where you get schooled, people. That's right. You get schooled. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Spug is not here. Spug is not here. We've already brought up masturbation.
Well, that's only because we were talking about, what's his name?
Him.
Yeah, what's his name again?
I'm not saying it.
Mav. Well, you guys are always saying, fuck Mav, so I figured masturbation kind of sort of works with that, because that's the only way he's ever going to get laid.
I've never said that about him. I try to be a little bit more professional around here.
Screw that. It's Wrestle Talk Radio. Professionalism is not allowed. What? You should know better.
Oh, right. Then fuck it.
There you go. Okay, Mace, what about you?
Midgets.
There you go. That should bring Spike any time now.
Actually, I saw a movie today with midget tossing, and I immediately thought of Spug.
Oh, my God. Whatever happens when he finally shows up, don't tell him.
Of course not. Go
Please.
Off on that.
Don't tell
He's
him.
He's probably seen it about 4,000 times.
I'm sure he's whacked off to that part of the movie.
Yeah, well, thanks for destroying my joke. And, you know, if there's one person on this planet I know who's jerked off more often than, you know, like, than watching a poster of Triple H would be Spud Wisdom. gets in it. Or, I don't know, some guy named Nick who pays attention to running the ropes.
Oh.
Ooh.
That other Aussie.
The Aussie that nobody can understand. Except for Cindy Sen, who has a show right here, 10:30 Eastern Time, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, called Anything Goes. I suggest you check it out. I'm just making a point about plugging to Crowley, by the way, in case you haven't figured it out by now. Yeah. He in the chat room earlier is yapping about, oh, man, I'm just the plugmeister. He says, man, you got to pay attention to me and Rock, me being yours truly, and Rock being Sir Rockin', the guy that you know as the co-host for CB Radio, you know, the guy who's just the producer, wink, wink. Know what I'm saying? So, anyway. I'd like to thank everybody officially for welcoming us into your computer and putting us on your speakers tonight. We'll be yapping a little bit about wrestling at some point in time tonight. We got a couple of things we're going to be talking about. Jack Swagger, this is the new world champion, and he took the title off of Y2J Chris Jericho on Friday.
You mean that wasn't some accidental acid trip I had? That really happened?
Well, you know, when I first read that, I'm thinking, fuck, you know, it's the spoilers.
April Fool's joke.
Yeah, it's an early April Fool's joke, which would be a little less early if you're in Australia, but still. You know, I said to Rock, you know, what if this is like an elaborate ruse, and they actually they put that out there like an April Fool's joke, and everybody went and ran with it, and then this is a real taping on Friday night.
Well, see, Yeah, that's exactly what you do. That would be brilliant of WWE if, you know, Jack Swagger comes out, wins the title, and then only on the edited broadcast version is there a backstage segment where it's stripped away from him.
Yeah, there you go. That would have worked, don't you think? They would have had to maybe film that late Thursday night with nobody around and Vince and Steph looking down on make sure that nobody, you know, tweets it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so how was everybody's day? Well, let's start off with Mace because he's a day ahead. So how was your day yesterday, Mace?
Yesterday, I've been getting harassing phone calls all fucking day.
Oh?
I've not been a happy camper.
Why not?
There's somebody deciding to scam the crap out of Australian wrestlers saying he represents the authority of Australian wrestling now, and everybody has to pay him money to get wrestling licenses. The guy decided to call me 12 times yesterday just to piss me off.
So, somebody in Australia is scamming. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought that only happened out of Nigeria, man.
No, well, the guy doesn't have any balls at all. He actually uses a voice modulator device to change the tone of his voice, so he doesn't even have the guts to use his real voice. And yeah, frankly, I'm fucking over it. I'm going, we know who this guy is. There are people who have a lot of information on him, and I've got things in place that I will not reveal on the air to try and get rid of him.
How about your day today, Omega?
I spent the weekend calling Australian wrestlers all...
ass. Sorry.
This has been like work. The entire week has been work week around here. We've got new furniture in the living room. I've got a new bookshelf in here, new chair. It's been nothing but hauling the old stuff out and bringing the new stuff in. And I am, I'm a geek. I'm not made for this.
Nope.
So I'm quite sore right now.
I've seen pictures of you. You're definitely not made for moving shit around. Meanwhile, I'm antsy about actually starting my first job of the season tomorrow or Tuesday. So
nice.
So I took the opportunity to sleep in, and I didn't get out of bed till like noon today. Because that'll be the last time I can do that until November 23rd.
So. Oh, man, enjoy it while you got it.
Oh, geez, you know, 12-hour days. I've been looking forward to it all wintertime.
Can't I
that and the bill for the hookers kept piling up, hey?
Oh, geez, man, you know, you can't waste money on hookers in the wintertime, dude. No, you leave that for the summertime because you got like $600 a job rolling in, so you're making, you know, like $600 to $1,200 a day. What the hell are you going to do with the money? Well, I've already saved my little share for, you know, the winter when I don't have to work and I can hibernate. So what am I doing with all this extra leftover stuff? I got it. Hookers and booze. I didn't hear you complaining when I set you up, Omega, last July.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Of course, Will still has to pay that one girl that we sent for his birthday. She still got the green paint on her crotch.
Oh, God. You send him a Hardy fan?
I'm not even going there, and you better not either, because if she ever gets wind of what you just said, she'll bitch. She wants to fuck John Cena, not Jeff Hardy. Pay attention.
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay, you know, the one problem with me saying stuff like that is Rock happens to be your producer, and if he doesn't hang up on me, then he's going to go and tell her that I said that. And she'll wind up saying, yeah, of course. You know, she'll agree with me, so it's all good. Anyway, shall we actually talk wrestling, guys?
Yeah, why not?
God forbid we ever do that.
Okay, so what do you think about Jack Swagger, the all-American, being the new world champion?
I envy you guys for not being American.
Other than that, what's your thought about them putting the strap over his shoulder?
There's a slight part of me going, okay, maybe a good idea, because this is going to piss off fans royally, and especially the way he flaunted it on SmackDown after he won it. And SmackDown in dire need of some extra heels that were up at the top card. On the other hand, which is a much larger hand, Swagger has done jack shit. 6 months, he's gone completely wasted. The last idea they had for him, they dropped out of nowhere. He's done absolutely nothing, deserves absolutely nothing, and does not have any business even having a world title match, let alone having the world title. It is moronic. It is absolutely stupid. It's unbearable to know that this guy is going to headline a pay-per-view soon.
So it's just basically stuck in your craw the tiniest little bit. Hey, Omega?
Just a little bit. I'm honestly considering pulling a Will and boycotting SmackDown on this one until they show some brain cell.
Yeah, Tony O is calling me the all-Canadian Canadian. Being that I'm only second-generation Canadian and my grandparents actually came up from the States, can I be the all-American Canadian? Or would it work?
Second generation, you'd be a Canadian Canadian.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay, so the...
Technically you could call yourself the American Canadian Canadian.
So I could call myself the all-American Canadian Canadian.
Yeah, it could work.
The all-Canadian-American-Canadian?
I don't know.
We're getting into legalities. Anyway, Mace, what do you think about them putting the title on Jack Swagger, if you will?
Well, what was one thing that we said about WrestleMania? Lots of missed opportunities for future storylines. This is another one. They decided to give Swagger the belt, which goes right against Omega's prediction of the first guy to cash it in and not win.
Let me just say that goes against everybody's consensus on that prediction, because I think we all agreed, yeah, well, this will be the first time. Yeah, you're right.
Good point. But I actually like the idea of Swagger coming in and going, I'm going to cash it in. Oh, shit, he's getting up. No, I'm not. Run away for another day. You know, the constant threat of when the hell is Swagger going to cash it in, because he's so jumpy to try and do it. To see him fall down a few more times would have been absolutely brilliant. But to have him do it on Raw and fail, and then to do it again on SmackDown and succeed, not only does it sort of destroy Jericho as a champion, but it just makes the entire thing look like dog shit.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it destroys Jericho as champion because of the way they set it up. He's hurt. His ribs are buggered up. He can't, you know, successfully defend his title in a rematch. Edge doesn't deserve a rematch. Yada, yada, yada. Boom! You know, he gets laid out by Edge in the spear, and then out comes Swagger. I don't see that as burying him.
It makes sense from a booking standpoint, but overall, you've had Jericho go up against, like, the guys in the Elimination Chamber and win the title. Sure, it was because Shawn Michaels hit The Undertaker in the chops, but, you know, we'll let that slide. Then he goes on to have a good match against Edge at WrestleMania, and then not even a week afterwards, Jack fucking Swagger?
Yeah.
It sort of seems like you're sort of building up, and then you just fucking pulled the bottom out and just watched the fucker drop.
Well, here's the thing, okay? When you look at it over the longer picture, next week, Edge beats Jericho and becomes the number one contender. Then they go into their next pay-per-view coming up, and Edge beats... What's his face?
Swagger. Mr. Jack Monkey Dance.
Yeah, Jack Swagger. So, like I said, Edge beats what's his face. So, Swagger is transitional, at the very least. I have to say he's got to be transitional on this one. But here's the bigger picture, guys and girls, kids of all ages. There's a pay-per-view coming up, I believe, when is it, June or July, that they have renamed?
Oh, no.
Money in the Bank. So Swagger cannot hold the Money in the Bank like has been done in previous years all through the summer, and then cash in at SummerSlam or cash in November, or, you know, at whatever they decide to call Survivor Series, or cash in it in December at whatever they used to call Armageddon. You know what I'm saying? They got to get to cash that in. Look, we got to get this over and done with. We got this big, huge program that is going to be continued between Edge and Jericho all summer long. The blow-off, you're not going to see the final payoff for this feud until SummerSlam. And if they do it before that, I think that's pretty fucking stupid. You know what I'm saying? That?
Yeah. See, what bugs me is that this was probably the best built match for Mania, if only because not only did you get the whole spear thing going into it, you got the crowd going into it, but also the anticipation ever since Edge left with the injury in the first place. We knew this was going to be a big match. We knew what a big deal it was. Yep. And now they're giving you the rematch 2 weeks after Mania, which I think, number one, is a stupid way of booking it. And number two, they're not building the rematch. They're going to build the rubber match. Edge is going to win. They're going to be 1-1, and they'll go up. They'll go with whatever the next major pay-per-view is for round three, which goes a little quick. But I don't know. See, if the whole idea is to just put the title on Edge and then have the rubber match, I don't see why this couldn't have been done at the next pay-per-view. Have the rematch then, build it up, and then have the rubber match again. It gets repetitive to do the pay-per-views that much, but it's these two. It's Jericho and Edge. I have no doubt that they could pull off a phenomenal match.
Well, Jericho and Edge, there's no way they can't pull off a phenomenal match. Sure, the match that they had at WrestleMania, everybody felt was a little bit slow, but I think they did a good job. It was a slow build to a slow burn. Both these guys now have chips on their shoulders, and that's going to give us a great contenders match for the championship, and it's a fantastic way of getting the belt off Jericho to make him chase it again. Chris Jericho is one of the guys that doesn't need a push. Okay, he's over as Y2J, the heel. He does not need to be pushed. He does not need to hold the title. I think he's better off chasing it. Mace.
I'd agree with you, but I'm now wondering, since they were so quick to get the Money in the Bank cashed in and everything, because they got the pay per view coming up, what was the point of having the match at Mania?
Well, you got to remember, Mania is supposed to be the Super Bowl, right? It's the season finale, as it were. And then everything after Mania is the new season. That's the way that it's looked at least in North American pro wrestling circles.
Can we cancel this season?
I don't know. Cancel
new writers, some new actors.
No, I don't know that you need to cancel the season because it's just started. Again, you got to give them time. It's just like everybody says, well, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like these guys say, well, what are you bitching about? Give them time. They'll get there. Know what I'm saying?
I'm just wondering, what happened to long-term planning in the WWE? When Edge won the first one, he went and, like, what was it? 10 months before he cashed in. Why couldn't they have Swagger win the Money in the Bank at Mania, then have him defend it at the pay-per-view? But, that's just me thinking, somewhat logically and long-term, rather than, oh my god, we have to get this out as soon as possible.
Well, again, we're looking at the trees and not the entire forest. I personally believe that they have the entire year sketched out, and they flesh it in as they get to it. And they've got it sketched out, okay, he wins Money in the Bank. Sketched out, he's got to cash it in immediately. Sketched out, this is what we're going to do. Sketched out, this is that and the other thing, okay? Jack Swagger, the all-American, American, people are some people have compared him to the, the new version of Kurt Angle. I wouldn't quite go that far.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly right. Like I'm saying, I wouldn't quite know that.
Angle was talented. There's a big difference there.
Ooh, you're mean. Anyway, that being said, right, the number one complaint that you hear from people, oh, they got to get new stars. They got to push these people. They got to push. Well, a push has to start someplace. They've got to start, they've got to start pushing the lesser knowns, the newer arrivals, to see who has that star quality. Right now, as far as we're concerned, it ain't Jack Swagger, but who knows? Maybe in a month from now, we're all going to be saying, well, how come he wasn't pushed sooner?
Well, here's the thing. Swagger's still a little bit green for me. I'm still not completely sold on the guy. What bugs me is that if they had this planned out, I can't foresee why they would leave him on the bench for so long. Don't give him any push. Don't put him in any program. Don't give him any kind of lesser title first. Just throw him, you know, just throw him into Money in the Bank with little to no build up whatsoever. And then, hey, you know, world title within a week.
Well, again, my saying is, like, don't be so impatient with the hurry up and wait mentality. Just let everything unfold, and who knows? Like I said, possibly by August, we'll be changing our tune and saying different things. It's always possible, right? I think so.
Now, if he's the new Angle, Angle wasn't ready for a world title his first time out either.
Yeah, and you know, it always takes, you know, talk to title holders. And the majority of them will tell you, well, the first time I didn't know what the fuck, you know, but now that I've been there and I had to go around through it all again, then now I know. Right? I mean, Shawn Michaels has said it. Bret Hart has said it. Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan, so we won't talk about him.
yeah, but keep it, well, look who you're talking about, though. I mean, you're talking before a day when a title actually meant something, and it wasn't just a means to a storyline, which is the same thing happening to Money in the Bank come July, by the way.
Okay, well, there's another thing right now. Do you agree or disagree, Mace, that title belts are not the end result anymore, but props for the end result, which is the payoff of the feud?
I think that long gone has the day where a title meant, you know, we have enough respect in you to let us carry the company on your shoulders. When a World Heavyweight Champion was the main guy of the company, here's a belt signifying we believe in you. The World Heavyweight title doesn't mean between Jack and shit. Jericho makes it interesting, but it still doesn't mean shit in the grand scheme of things. The mid-card belts don't mean shit. You know, the tag belts, well, why even bother having them anymore?
Yeah. Well, these days,
like you said, just props. That's it. Well, they're no longer something to be admired. They're just, oh, look, he's got a belt. When's he going to lose it to the next idiot?
Well, ever since the height of the Attitude Era, this new writing staff has been in, and they've always had this idea of, well, we're not treating the belts like they're worth something. They're a means to an end. I mean, they're just an excuse to have these two guys wrestle. And while that does get the matches that we might want underway, that doesn't make the titles worth anything. They're just an excuse. Instead of coming up with a legitimate excuse and have an actual storyline being built up, it degenerates into, well, you've got the belt, so I want to beat you up. Well, I don't like you, so that'll work for me. And run with those kind of storylines over and over and over and over. There is nothing personal about them anymore. There is no history to them anymore. It's just absolutely lazy, lazy writing. And the same thing is about to happen to Money in the Bank. Come July, it's no longer, you know, the mid-carder's time to shine at WrestleMania. It's no longer that new guy getting a world title shot for the first time. It's going to be an easy way of getting somebody that they want into the world title picture, or, you know, this will be like an easy way of giving Edge a rematch, or Jericho a rematch, or Batista a rematch, whoever the hell ends up winning it. It seems like an invitation of basically turning Money in the Bank into something for a top carder, a top name, to get a cheap title shot.
Yeah. It's like, I remember back in the day, which was always a Wednesday if you ask Trey, when you get Shawn Michaels would win the Intercontinental title and he'd hold that for a long time. They'd build the storylines around him and the belt. And you always knew that because he had the Intercontinental title on his shoulder, that one day after he loses that belt, he's going to be pushed into the main event, that he's going to be start headlining bigger shows, that he's going to be a more of a fixture. Today, you look, we got fucking Drew McIntyre as the IC title holder. Nobody's ever going to think of him as a World Heavyweight Champion after he loses it. Same with the US title. You know, The Miz has got that. Nobody's going to see him as a World Heavyweight Champion for God knows how long. You know, I miss the days where the belts actually meant something. The mid-card belts meant progression. The The World Heavyweight title meant, here's the company on your shoulders, now you carry us to the next level.
Go ahead, Omega.
I will agree on McIntyre. I don't think anything is ever going to come of him. Not so much on The Miz, though. I mean, he's not there yet, but he's got something that a lot of guys in the WWE haven't had in years, and it's personality. I mean, love him or hate him, people get into his character when he's out there. He knows how to work a crowd. He knows how to get himself over as a bad guy. Now, ring work, maybe he needs a little bit of help, but right now, the guy's doing a hell of a lot better for himself than most of the mid-card.
Hey, he's getting better. He's getting better regularly. You have to admit that.
Oh, yeah.
But you start.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, you start and you think about it. You're saying that The Miz has charisma. He's good on the stick. All that wonderful stuff. If you watch, just pay attention to The Miz. Not just in the ring, but talking on the mic and his swagger and his attitude. Does he not remind you of a young Chris Jericho?
Yeah, very much so. And that's okay. The thing. It took Jericho many years to evolve into the guy that we have as the former World Heavyweight Champion now.
Yeah, and who did Jericho basically mold himself off of?
Trying to think, but...
Yeah, you lost me here.
Okay,
because for some reason I keep flashing back to his early days in WCW where he was Mr. Loophole.
Yeah, no, Rock just told you in the behind-the-scenes chat, Shawn Michaels. I mean, he even says so on the latest Shawn Michaels DVD, My Journey, available now at WWEShop.com. Sorry, I had to. Anyway, so Chris Jericho patterns himself after Shawn Michaels, and we see Shawn Michaels' influence down the line with The Miz patterning himself after Chris Jericho. And The Miz is not the only one who has said, oh, I look up to Y2J, I want to be just like him, I want to, yada, 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 and boom, there you go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That being said, why don't we take our first time out of the evening here? Now, this is not going to be a normal commercial break. Starting in the middle of the week, we had basically the programs on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Get everybody ready for what I'm calling the WTR tributes. You guys don't know what's going on here yet. Rock does. Sir Rockin' does, because he's going to be responsible for getting this out. All I can tell you is the debut of WTR tributes begins now. Everybody pay attention to your Ustream player. I think you'll get a kick out of something I put together as a WTR tribute. Rock, if you will. If you're ready.
Hour of my darkest day, I realized what is wrong with me. Can't get over you, can't get through to you. It's been a helter-skelter romance from the start. Take these memories that are haunting me, of a paper man cut into shreds by his own pair of scissors. Because days come and go, but my feelings for you are forever. Because days come and go.
over from another good time with another girl, little dirty girl. You should listen to this story of a life. You're my heroine. In this moment I'm lonely, fulfilling my darkest dreams. All these drugs, all these women, I'm never forgiving this broken heart of mine.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sharona, hey, by the neck, get the neck. Really hot band back in 1979. The lead singer just died last month, and it's a tragic story. It was heart-related.
Oh, because Tim can remember going and seeing them live.
No, I didn't go see them live, asshole. I wanted to, but I couldn't get tickets. Shut up.
Hey, I made the joke without saying the words, Tim. You should give me credit for that.
Yeah. We'll give you half credit and call it even. So there it is, WTR Tributes. You can expect a brand new one every single week. Well, almost every single week. There might be one or two shows here and there where we don't get a chance to air a new one, or I don't get a chance to actually make one. But, yeah, I figured the initial one, it would be fitting to get to the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels, who, as we all saw, retired officially this past Monday night on Raw. Guys, did WWE handle his farewell correctly, Mace?
Yeah, for what we expected. You know, yep. Big speech, you know, the hot, wrenching goodbye at the end and walking up the ramp, didn't really, as much as Hunter had a right to come out and, you know, hug him and all that stuff, I would have just been happy with, you know, Sean getting up to the top of the ramp and just sort of tip of the hat, turn and walk. Because that's what I thought they were going for. I thought they were going for the heroic cowboy riding up into the sunset sort of ending for it.
Yeah, there you go. Omega, what do you think?
I didn't mind that so much. I mean, especially because, you know, the one thing synonymous in HBK's career has been his friendship with Triple H. So to see them side by side one last time, that was meaningful to me. I was glad to see that again. You know, especially watching Triple H lay down the DX glow sticks on the stage as he walked out. So I liked having the one last moment between them. The only things I can really complain about would probably be, well, number one, so much emphasis was put on HBK, what if he breaks the streak, that I felt that it was a little bit sudden, which, yeah, given the circumstances, I understand why it should have been sudden, but I would have liked a little bit more build-up of what if this is the end of HBK's career, rather than what if this is the end of Undertaker's streak.
Okay.
That just to give it a little bit more, just to know it was coming. I mean, if they knew this was going to be it, I would have liked a little bit more of a build. And aside from that, I mean, the Raw episode was great. I liked everyone coming out, giving their little touches to it throughout the show. The one thing I didn't like, we didn't get the last pose. We didn't get the classic leg, you know, one leg out, one leg down pose. I wanted to see that one last time. That's how I remember Shawn Michaels.
Oh, well, then I would recommend that maybe you find a poster of him posing like that, which is probably available on WWEShot.com.
Oh, you whore.
Have we got Spug with us now? Is the Spug there yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. There you go. I just want to double check.
Hey.
Spug, what did you think?
The only part of that retirement on Monday night that I didn't feel that I felt was inappropriate, one, was you saw how much was given to Ric Flair the night he retired after Mania.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels was more influential to one company as far as the WWE was concerned than I thought Ric Flair was to the WWE. Now, granted, Ric Flair was more influential to wrestling overall in the grand scheme of things, but it was Shawn Michaels who carried WWE through a lot of dark times.
Yeah.
And so I thought that perhaps the farewell speech in the ring was very appropriate, but I would have liked to have seen more of the wrestlers or the guys in the back come out and pay some tribute. And the other thing that I thought highly inappropriate and I thought was extremely wrong to do at that point in time was the Sheamus run in on Hunter at the about the middle point of the show. When Hunter was out there talking, he said he didn't want to interrupt Sean's moment later, so he wanted to get it out now.
Yeah.
I understand you're trying to build a feud, but you can wait a week.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. However, if all of the wrestlers had come out and, you know, done the congratulations, Sean, people, you know, guys, people would have been bitching and complaining that it was a ripoff of what they did with Ric Flair last year. Personally, I thought it was a great way to let him go. You know, he goes out there on his own terms and he leaves on his own terms. And I got a feeling that Sean may have had some say in the fact that none of the wrestlers in the back come out at the end.
I would have liked to have seen, you know, and you didn't need the long parade like Flair got with Anderson and the horsemen and all that. You didn't need that. But perhaps the roster coming out to the top of the ramp as he was leaving and, you know, and clapping for him, I think that would have been just fine.
But that's something that could have happened once the cameras went off the air. You got to remember, there was a lot to Flair's farewell that didn't happen on the air that had actually ended up being put on the DVD that was released later.
Yeah, my contention is just the type of person that Shawn Michaels is. He probably, you know, none of that stuff because, you know, I'm this, that, and the other reason, and it wouldn't be right, and it would look too hokey, and not going along with the character HBK where he's all HBK all the time, but as Michael Shawn Hickenbottom, being very humble and wanting to keep that sense of humility, would possibly necessitate his belief that nobody coming up in breaking character or anything like that, which the majority of them would have, but having them all just stay in the back and just let's get this over. I'm out of here, and then we can party in the back after it's all said and done. That's just my thinking of it. But one thing that did make me choke on my coke a little bit was when he thanked the Hitman Bret Hart. I was kind of surprised by that, don't you think, Omega?
Yes.
You're not Omega. Quiet.
Oh, shit. Sorry, my Transformers collection is not big enough.
Oh, there you go.
You have to admit, for as much hell as that angle or the whole Montreal incident has probably caused him and Earl and Bret and Vince, it did cement a huge part of his career. I mean, you do have to give it some credibility, at least for that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, true. Yeah, not letting, you know, there is the thing that, yes, it should have died, yes, it should have left it alone, but, you know, at the same time, any time they wanted to make HBK into, any time he needed to play the heel or the asshole, he's a perfect foil for it right there, Montreal.
Yeah, all he's got to do, you know, 30 seconds and then he's got 10 minutes of crowd heat. Boom. Done. Mace?
Yeah, I would have got a good laugh out of Bret actually coming out and shaking Shawn's hand at the top of the ramp, but the sort of the thank you to Bret Hart, yeah, I could see why he did it because anybody who went to WWE.com during the WrestleMania weekend would have seen Bret Hart was doing a journal of his time leading up to WrestleMania, and he specifically went out of his way to mention that he and Shawn stood face-to-face, they buried the hatchet and everything else. Mm-hmm. I actually got a slight chuckle out of Shawn. It was Hunter going, "We owe a lot to the Click," and doing the little Wolfpack sign at the same time. I got a bit of a chuckle out of that. I think we were discussing last week about Nash playing a big role in Shawn's life. Or was that another show?
I can't remember. It may have been another show, Mace.
Well, I've listened to 3 wrestling shows a week. Shut up.
It actually makes me wonder. I mean, did Bret come in and say, "Okay, I'll do this with you, Vince. I'll have the match at WrestleMania, but Shawn has to quit."
No, this isn't the Hall of Fame.
Spug, what's your thought on it?
The Bret Hart. I think the Bret Hart, the mutual thanking and whatnot was to be expected a little bit. What got me in the whole thing was Taker coming out and the tip of the hat at the top of the ramp. Because Taker has been in this business a very long time. And to earn that man's respect the way Shawn Michaels has, it takes a lot. And to me, the more touching was Undertaker in the tip of the cap.
Yeah. That was pretty impressive, I have to admit it. Bret Hart and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H, don't exactly get along too well. These will not be the first two people you think about sharing the carpool lane.
Your point?
So I can understand, you know, HBK getting the hug from Triple H and Bret Hart not being there to shake his hand. It made more sense that way. Really. Don't you think, Omega?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
Okay, so, at least one hatchet still remains to be buried, I guess, and that's between Paul Levesque and Bret Hart. Spug, your thoughts?
I particularly don't care. The main hatchet burying, I think, took place between the parties that were most affected by it.
January.
Being Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon and Bret Hart's healing took place a long, 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 long time ago. But with the retirement and with everything that has gone on, there have been many a people over the past week or so that have brought up Triple H or Shawn Michaels' contributions to wrestling. And I want to say this right now. If you don't think Shawn Michaels has contributed anything to the wrestling business, then obviously you were watching tapes of NWA and WCW from 25 years ago. Because without Shawn Michaels, we wouldn't have the extremely flashy intros. We would not have the attitude that wrestlers have today. Shawn Michaels has contributed more to wrestling in the past 23 years of his career than most wrestlers could ever dream of.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, in a way, Shawn Michaels is kind of the genesis of modern wrestling. I mean, he was one of the first champions that was slim, but you know, like most slimmer wrestlers, like Bret Hart at the time, he was smaller than your usual champion. He was a technical wrestler. Where Shawn Michaels was really one of your first major high flyers, one of the more modern high flyers, I guess. Where he's nimble, he's fast, he's a lot of things that a lot of modern wrestlers, especially on the indie scene, are all about.
Well, when you're talking about all of this introduction to the high flying and the flashy flash, you have to include Marty Jannetty. During the run as the Rockers. If it weren't for the Rockers, would we really have the Hardy Boys? Right?
No.
Everything's got to start somewhere.
To be honest, if we didn't have the Rockers, we wouldn't have Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely true. Completely true. Any thoughts or opinions before we move on, guys?
If it weren't for Shawn... If it were not for Shawn Michaels, and if it were not for the way he wrestled and the way he personified himself, you wouldn't have half of what you have today in wrestling.
Yeah. Now, as much as everybody knows, I'm not a fan of Shawn Michaels. I am able to be objective and give credit, give credit where credit is due. It's like I explained to a certain somebody on Tuesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, when I schooled him a little bit on Shawn Michaels. The guy was responsible for carrying the WWF when they were losing to the WCW. Now, you could be a real ding-dong and say, well, if Shawn Michaels was so good, then the product would have been better, and more people would have watched WWF than WCW. If it weren't for Shawn Michaels, WWF probably would have gone under.
That was a really good impression of him there. Tim,
don't nobody accuse me of doing an impression of a certain somebody. I would never do that.
And here's the thing, and I wasn't
sorry, I'm choking.
Right, and I wasn't trying to say anything specific, but But you know what I'm going to now, because it reminded me of what he said last Sunday night, that you can't really call Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania, because what has he done at WrestleMania? Well, let me tell you what he's done at WrestleMania. One of the greatest ladder matches of all time with Razor Ramon. One of the greatest technical matches ever with Bret Hart. One of the best main events of all time with Chris Benoit and Triple H. Oh yeah, not to mention countless numbers of matches with The Undertaker, two of the greatest matches of the decade, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle. The list goes on and on. He may not win at WrestleMania, but I tell you what, he sure as hell steals the show every time he steps in the goddamn ring. So yeah, you can call him Mr. WrestleMania.
Well, hell yeah. Okay, you want to know what Shawn's record at WrestleMania is? 6-9, okay? 6-9. What's Undertaker's record? 18-0. Who's had the most memorable matches?
You know what? I'll let it speak for itself. We did this little thing called Mania Madness through the month of March, and it concluded last weekend. How many times did Shawn Michaels appear on that?
He was on practically almost every head-to-head matchup. He even went up against himself on a couple of voting. Do you remember the downright winner, the all-time greatest WrestleMania match from our Mania Madness?
It was Bret Hart and Stone Cold, but the runner-up was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it's just amazing that we wound up with Bret and Stone Cold as opposed to, say, Bret and Shawn Michaels in the Iron Man match. But
we had the, you know, in the semifinals, two of them were Shawn Michaels matches.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my point. That's my entire point. I don't care what your personal opinions and bias are. I don't care if you don't like the guy. I don't care if you wouldn't, you know, if you wouldn't piss on him if he were on fire. I don't care. But
let me ask you, as far as the Bret Stone Cold match goes, if that wasn't the genesis of the Attitude Era, the absolute, that's where the seeds were planted, was that match for WWE's Attitude Era. If that was just a match that happened, would it have even made the final?
I think so, because that was not only the genesis of the Attitude Era, but that was the genesis of Stone Cold's career. And to me, that superseded the Attitude Era, because Stone Cold Steve Austin, while he was a great talker and was a great wrestler, and it was proven in WCW and ECW when he was there, that match with Bret Hart solidified him as a bona fide star. And that's why I voted for that match. But back to the point at hand, when you look at that resume, when you look at that and go, he's been in some of the most influential moments in WWE history over the last 20 years. Some of the most influential events. How can you not say he's not the icon? He's not the showstopper. He's not the main event. He's not Mr. WrestleMania. How can you say that he's not any of those things when he's proven time and time and time again that he is?
Yeah. Well, the original point I was going to make is how many times do you talk about a WrestleMania match that Shawn Michaels is in? How many times do you talk about Undertaker facing off against Giant Gonzalez, who, you know, that was a win by DQ right there, and it was a match that never should have taken place. Omega.
Yeah, I might mention that match if I need a good laugh at something.
Yeah, Mace
coming out with a spray painted bodysuit.
Yeah, it was
come on, that was a 5-star Matt Classic. We all know that.
He came out dressed like a He-Man action figure.
There you go. I mean, you know, you don't call Undertaker Mr. WrestleMania first off, if for no other reason, then it doesn't fit the image. Calling
Mr. WrestleMania is not about win-loss records. It's about the effort that you put in. Shawn Michaels has done that. That's why we call him Mr. WrestleMania.
You know, and calling yourself Mr. WrestleMania, that fits the image of the Heartbreak Kid, the icon, the showstopper. Right?
All right. All right. I'm gonna give you a little bit of an analogy here, whatever you want to call it. Do you remember what Reggie Jackson's nickname was, Tim?
Mr. October. Why?
Mr.
Because
October.
That's when he performed. That's where he came through.
Exactly. And where did Shawn Michaels perform at his best?
WrestleMania. That's where
exactly.
He comes shining through. You brought up in your last little chat about the first ever ladder match in WWE/WWF against Razor Ramon.
What, I think it was the first match at Mania, but yeah.
Yeah, well, do you remember what Ric Flair said about that match? Shawn had an amazing match with the ladder. Razor Ramon just happened to be there. Okay, Shawn Michaels could wrestle a ladder and make the ladder look like a contender. That's the point.
Well, you think about this. Shawn Michaels had... That was one of the first matches in WWE where a lot of moves at the time that were considered high-flying were used.
No.
You think about it. 3 years previous, at WrestleMania 7, it was one of the first times ever that the powerbomb had been used in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done by a Japanese guy. I think it was Tenru. I think Tenru did it.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I mean, Shawn Michaels not only was he creative in the way that he marketed himself either as a face or a heel, he was innovative in the way that he presented the match.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Your basic suplexes, arm drags, hip tosses, takedowns, anything that you wanted to use, wouldn't have done that ladder match justice.
Nope. Well,
going out there and doing planches off a ladder, you know, coming off the turnbuckle and using it as essentially a giant paperweight onto Razor Ramon.
Yeah. Now, you're talking to. We're all arguing over a nickname and whether or not the guy deserves to call himself something or have him be called something. Let me just ask one question. I'm going to start with Mace. I'm going to give the same question to Omega and Spug. Mace, when somebody says the Great One, who are they talking about?
The Rock.
You see, I didn't think that you would get it. Okay, Omega, being in the southern United States, when I say the Great One, when I'm talking about the Great One, who am I talking about?
Wayne Gretzky.
Spud, when I say the Great One, who am I talking about?
Either Wayne Gretzky or Hank Aaron.
Wayne Gretzky. Now, I didn't expect Mace to get it because they don't do the ice hockey thing in Australia, which is okay, that's fine. Omega, right off, boom, got it. Your first guess, Spud, was Wayne Gretzky. That's his nickname. That's what he will always be known as. Okay?
Well,
Eric Lindros, do you remember what they called him?
No clue. I don't remember. I honestly don't.
Okay. Omega, do you remember what they call him? What they called Eric Lindros?
No.
Rock knows. I know Rock knows. Mr. Kreiselot. Only the Philly fans call him that. He was called as the next one. Okay? The Great One, the next one. There is nobody else going to be called the Great One. Okay. Mr. October. I don't care what you say, Tony O. Joe Maurer is not Mr. October. Who's Mr. October? Reggie fucking Jackson. Always has been, always will be. You know, that's the end of that. When 10 years from now, I say, hey, you remember Mr. WrestleMania? What is everybody going to think of?
Shawn Michaels.
Thank
Jackie
you.
Swagger.
Smartass. You only did that because I made you answer the question first knowing you wouldn't get it.
Mr. Damn Week After bitch. WrestleMania.
There you go. So, you know, that's the moniker, and bottom line, it's, when you stop and you think about it, it's just a nickname, okay? And nicknames, it's just a moniker. It's just a, something to call yourself. However, in this case, Shawn Michaels lived up to the hype. This is what, all I'm saying.
Here's the thing though, Tim. Certain nicknames are earned and not given. Okay? Reggie Jackson earned the nickname Mr. October. Now you've got every Tom, Dick, Harry, and asshole with a dildo up their fucking taint trying to name Joe Mauer, Alex Rodriguez, or anybody else they can think of that performs remotely well in October, the new Mr. October.
Well, don't most of those people live in Minnesota, Spug?
Probably. You have people all the time trying to tab Sidney Crosby or Mario Lemieux when he was healthy and played as the next Wayne Gretzky, as the next great one, okay?
Yeah.
The problem with it is that somebody already paved the way and already earned that nickname. And when you earn that nickname, Mr. WrestleMania, Mr. October, the great one, it doesn't matter what you want to call it, you know, what the nickname is.
Yeah.
But once you've earned that nickname and it is forever synonymous with you, you will have assholes all across the globe trying to name somebody as a replacement or trying to take it away from you.
Yep. No argument on that one. Mace, do you follow Australian rules football? What is that, rugger or whatever? Rugby?
Rugby?
I don't follow rugby, no. But okay. I follow Australian rules football, which is a completely different sport.
Completely different sport. Now that's a major league sport in Australia, correct?
Yes, we have rugby league, rugby union, and what is known as Australian rules football.
Okay, now in Aussie rules football, who's the biggest star?
These days, I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, what about all-time biggest star, the guy that you keep talking about? Like after his career's been over and done for a decade or whatever, amazing stats, amazing, just you know, the best clutch player you've ever seen.
Off the top of my head, James Hurd, Matthew Lloyd, and Gary Ablett.
Okay, any of them have nicknames?
Nope.
Well,
we're not big on nicknames down here.
Okay, well, give them a nickname. It's the North American thing to do. What the hell?
I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to the other Australians, and we'll get together, and we'll start working on nicknames just for you guys. How's that sound?
Yeah, well, you know, get together, do tea, you know, get it all set up, and then everything will be fair dinkum, mate.
Tea? We're Australians. We drink beer. We're not friggin' Crowley and English tea-drinking poofters.
I didn't mean tea. You know, never mind. Anyway... The point is, some people give themselves nicknames, others earn the nickname given to them. Wayne Gretzky was dubbed the Great One. He earned it. All right. Shawn Michaels picks up the nickname Mr. WrestleMania. And he went out and earned it.
And, you know, not to be a douche, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but
it just happens.
It comes natural to me. It's a talent. If you want to defend your position, and you know who you are, and our chat room knows who it is, the phone line is 1-888-357-9876, option 1.
Or Sorokin on Skype.
Exactly. Because I would really like to hear you defend your position. Nobody's going to school you. It's not an ambush. We're not going to gang up on you. It's none of that. I really want to hear your position and your opinion on why you think that Shawn Michaels is not Mr. WrestleMania.
If any of you listening have that opinion. So there.
I wasn't here last night, Rock.
Judges, do we get to cut him some slack over that? Yes or no? Yes or no? With that no decision, then I think we're going to take our next break and come back and talk a little bit more wrestling stuff. We've got some more things to cover. Everybody, you're listening to Russ Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just to let you know, the WTR tribute that we aired for the first break will be on our YouTube page later tonight after the show. You can find Wild Talk Radio on YouTube. Check it out. See all the stuff we got there. We'll be right back.
Hollywood Hills, pocket full of shells, sunset dragon.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this
show. Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. Goddamn casting magic missile.
Anyway, whoa, welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I've got one question for the panel. How many times do you think Tony O jizzes in his pants every time he gets psyched out by that Bob the Tail Mage commercial when O Radio plays?
I don't want to think about it to calculate an answer.
Hey, weren't we talking porn the other night and wondering where the fuck Spug was?
We do that a lot of nights. You're going to have to narrow it down a bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that was earlier tonight. We were talking about masturbation and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, but you know, there's no need to let me know that.
Running the ropes on Fridays, yeah.
I deleted my entire porn collection.
Why? Do you have somebody coming to inspect your computer? Making room for the new stuff? What?
The feds knocked on the door.
I just deleted it. I don't feel like having it clog on my computer anymore. I just deleted it.
So your wife got sick of looking at it?
No. My wife doesn't care. She watches more porn than I do.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. She got sick of looking at it, so she decided you should get rid of it, so new stuff.
Got her own porn collection. She's got her own computer that she's got cluttered up with porn. I was like, meh, and delete.
Okay. He's going to refill it with midget videos.
He's going to refill it with midget porn.
I'm sure I'll have a new porn collection soon enough, but for now, meh.
Yeah, but midget porn doesn't take up nearly as much space on the hard drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's shorter.
Smaller files. Gives a whole new meaning to the name Engelbert Humperdinck. Anyway, Christopher Daniels released by TNA. Big loss for the company, yes or no?
Oh, my God, really?
Yes. Absolutely. Now, refresh my memory. Didn't he headline a pay-per-view a few months back?
Uh-huh. Kind of.
Okay, refresh my memory. Was he not one of the most talented workers in the ring they had?
Uh-huh, kind of.
What the fuck?
Something's going on.
Jay Lethal pretending to be the Macho Man is still getting a paycheck, but they fire Daniels.
Oh, yeah, Black Machismo coming your way, dude. Dig it. Oh, maybe you could take on the Honky Tonk Man for the X Division title.
Can I dig a grave for that gimmick?
Hey, come on, man. There's nothing wrong with stuff like that. Gimmicks in wrestling. Wrestling wouldn't be pro wrestling without gimmicks. I mean, Stone Cold Shark Boy.
Oh, yeah, because that works so well.
You got to remember, they're reforming the Mega Powers.
Black Machismo and Hulk Hogan. What's wrong with this picture? Only one of them can wrestle. And it ain't Hulk Hogan.
Here's the thing.
Yes, Spug, please chime in.
If Daniels is released by WWE, it's not going to be very long before he's in a WWE ring.
Daniels is released by TNA.
By TNA. And it's not going to be long before he's in a WWE ring. And if WWE is smart, which recently they've proven that they are a little bit, Then you pair him up in a feud with CM Punk. Or
have him join the Straight Edge Society. He's already bald.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big leap, right? And he wears black nail polish, too, so he'll fit right in with Serena.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if you have him just feud with Punk for a little bit, you've got Daniels. You've got Bryan Danielson, and you've got CM Punk.
Yeah.
My God, you might actually have some wrestling on a show.
No, shit!
No, you can't have that, man. That's like, not allowed. No, I'm sorry, we don't want workers. We don't want great performers in the ring. We want guys that are at least this tall, and they have to be at least this wide. So, Spud, you didn't know that Christopher Daniels got released?
No clue!
Wow, yeah, it happened earlier this week. It was made official, and all the news made the rounds over the weekend. Christopher Daniels, he re-debuted in Ring of Honor, their pay-per-view last night.
I'm thoroughly excited because I love Christopher Daniels' work.
Uh-huh.
I think he's probably one of the more underrated workers that's out there. And the fact that he is now gone from the Black Abyss, known as TNA, I mean, that place has swallowed more talented workers than Lita.
I normally say at this point leave the Lita jokes to Omega, but that was not bad.
Yeah, fair credit.
Okay, continue.
It's you know, I would like to see WWE pull their head out of their ass for once and realize the potential that they have in the possibility of those three individuals on their roster. I mean, it goes back to the Shawn Michaels thing real quickly. The flashy ones get over. They're the superstars. They're the guys you pay to see. But you gotta have the solid performers and the solid workers for the show to go off every night. Because without a Chris Benoit, without a Dean Malenko, without Jericho way back in the day, or Mysterio now, even though he is a bit of a star, unless you have the solid workers, all you have is a group full of prima donnas.
Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
I'll just interject for a second, because I know Jersey Girl was wondering what actually happened in Ring of Honor. According to reports, he challenged Davey Richards to a match, and also cut a promo saying that he's been held back for the past 7 years and has returned to Ring of Honor to prove that he is the best in the business.
Ooh, there you go. So it's nice that he put over Ring of Honor that way. Is it going to
they
is
do
it going
wrestling
to draw,
over there?
Is it going to draw more viewers to Ring of Honor?
It'll give them a quick pop in ratings, but I don't see it sort of lifting them up even higher.
Yeah,
you remember, Daniels has been in Ring of Honor before in the earlier days, and you know that was when they were
really
had,
good.
Exactly, and even then they were still considered at the time the number three company in the wrestling business.
Now, I think Ring of Honor is going to be perpetually considered the number three company, but more and more people are discovering ROH, and that can't be a bad thing.
It's gaining a bit of a resurgence, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
I think right now, as far as professional wrestling goes, we are not seeing the height that we saw in the late 90s up till 2001. But I think we are seeing at least a small resurgence in interest in professional wrestling. I think we're at the genesis of the rekindling. That again, that's just my opinion and my thoughts and my beliefs. If you guys want to talk about that, feel free to do so. No comments?
Well,
any comments?
Here, other than me, there is a resurgence in interest in pro wrestling. There really is. You are right on that. I firmly believe, in my own personal opinion, that it is only a matter of time before wrestlers actually start wrestling again.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you talk to Ring of Honor, the wrestlers in Ring of Honor have always wrestled. If you talk to TNA, hey, they've had a chance to actually do more in the ring. WWE, I swear to God, if they could figure out how to take the word wrestling out of World Wrestling Entertainment, they would have.
And they probably would have.
Yeah.
They already have. You ask Vince McMahon, what do you do?
I run a sports entertainment company.
Yep.
That's fine for Vince.
This would be called a wrestling promoter.
But he doesn't call himself a wrestling promoter anymore. He's a sports entertainment promoter.
Yeah, well, that's my point. He's a like it or not, he's a wrestling promoter. He doesn't want to be called a wrestling promoter. But, you know, look at the bright side, at least, Mace. It's not Wrestlelicious.
Oh, God.
Don't tell me.
Please, don't do that again.
I had to. I read I read From the Mind of Mace Volume 4 last night and found it highly entertaining, which, by the way, you can find right here on the Wild Talk Radio website, www.wildtalkradio.com. Read From the Mind of Mace. He's got actually five editions up there, but the second one doesn't really count because it was only 1.5.
Six, technically.
Oh, technically six, sorry. You had another
four,
half.
Four proper volumes and two half volumes.
Meanwhile, I'm discovering how effective window cleaner is at killing ants.
It's highly effective.
It really
especially
is.
Especially if you light them.
And Dawn dish soap?
No. I've got a couple of ants that somehow got into the house because the window's open and walking around. So I grabbed my my Windex and I spritzed them a couple of times, and they're slowly dying with the ammonia and stuff like that. And it's funny. I've never seen an ant walk on its two hind legs before.
Oh, Dawn dish soap, Tim.
Yeah,
does a great job at killing bees.
At killing bees?
Mm-hmm.
I'll remember that if I'm ever attacked by a swarm of bees and have some Dawn dish soap on me.
Oh, if you have a bee,
if you ever catch a big enough spider, put it on a barbecue. They dance.
You don't have spiders like that in North America, Mace.
A couple of that big motherfucking spiders.
Here you go. Go ahead, Spug.
If you get a bee's nest in your yard, you go out there with a bottle of Dawn dish soap and you pour it down the hole of the Dawn dish soap.
Mm-hmm.
While Dawn dish soap is pretty safe for human beings, it's a poison to wasps, bees, anything like that. And the way bees breathe, they breathe through flapping their wings. So they will try to flap their wings to get out of it and breathe it in and get that in their little insect bodies, and it'll kill them.
Inside the little insect lungs. Welcome to Bug Kill Talk Radio. Exactly, Mace. Yeah. I just don't want to talk about this because it's another tragedy. So I guess maybe I'm just diverting a little bit, but, it is time to delve into this and talk about it. The professional wrestler Chris Kanyon found dead Friday night in his Queens, New York apartment at the age of 40. Spug?
Apparent suicide attempt.
Exactly.
You know what? Quite frankly, there are certain situations where I cannot take pity. And, you know, Vince has reached out to several of his former talents and said, if you need help, we will get it for you, no matter if you're on the roster or not.
Well, here's my question for you before you go any further on that one. He was talking about drug addiction problems, wasn't he? When he made that, when he reached out?
And you're telling me that taking that amount of pills, the prescription pills that he took, doesn't signal some sort of addiction?
No, Spike, it was a suicide. He took a deliberate overdose.
Overdose. He took a deliberate overdose of pills. And if you read the article... The article that I read about Kanyon, that there had been several times throughout his career where he had been confronted with his addiction prescription painkillers.
Well, see, the thing is, it's not the addiction to prescription painkillers that drove him to suicide. The guy suffered from bipolar disorder.
He suffered from bipolar disorder.
Okay,
but
he was on medication for that.
Tim, have you ever had a type of dysfunctional disease that causes you to take prescription meds? A bipolar, ADD, ADHD, anything like that?
No, my ex-wife was put on Zoloft.
Okay. I am diagnosed ADD, ADHD. Mm-hmm. I was given a prescription of Ativan to combat it. I quite literally took it for 3 days and was a goddamn zombie on it. Mm-hmm. There are people who are addicted to it. I've taken Percocets for pain, and I can understand how quickly you can get addicted to something like that. Yes, he was given medicine to help treat a disorder. He was given medicine to help him combat the chemical imbalances in his brain. That doesn't mean he did not get addicted to them and therefore make his situation worse.
There's nothing to say that that happened. There's nothing to say that that didn't happen. But as you're saying, there are certain instances where you have no sympathy.
There are, and suicide is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mace? Just want to give everybody on the panel a chance
yeah,
to
work. Yeah, I was just repeating. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mace.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same frame with Spug with suicide. You know, if you choose to take your own life, then, you know, why should we have pity? At the same time, you know, did enjoy Kenyon's antics, as I put in the article and in the little picture I mocked up for Kenyon. You know, the innovator of offense, the master of the swimming pool flip bump, and eater of gay eggs and bacon.
Hey, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, dig into an archive of an old Wrestling News Live. He didn't wake up one morning and say, I want some gay eggs and bacon for breakfast.
Exactly. Unfortunately, yeah, as it was pointed out, Vince has turned around to former wrestlers saying, you know, if you need help, let me know. Yes, the primary idea behind that was for drug addiction, but it now sort of brings in the focus, what about other things, like people who suffer from bipolar, people who get depressed due to being out of the spotlight. You know, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. I remember that the Renegade took his own life because he couldn't handle being out of what little spotlight he had in WCW.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where mentally, people need to look after each other. Yeah.
You know what, Rock? Real quickly, Rock brings up a good point in our chat room. The moment you start bringing up thoughts of suicide to friends, somebody should have gone, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and I'm going to get a little further into that in just a little bit, but I can't totally, you know, I don't disagree with that statement, but there are caveats to that. Omega, here's your chance to kick in your piece over this before we get into it further.
You see, I'm somewhere in the same boat where it's hard for me to find pity in someone who takes their own life. It's an unnecessary loss of life. It's the loss of someone who's a great entertainer in WCW. I mean, he's someone on my Twitter, Spoony actually, put it as the one guy that made him laugh during the invasion, and I'll pretty much give him credit for that. I'm in a similar boat with that. It's upsetting. He had fallen to the point where that became an option and he decided to take it. The point was brought up, you know, if he brought that up with friends and they did nothing, then yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't know. It's always something that can be prevented, and it upsets me that no one was around that would help him.
Well, as far as death through suicide, yeah, no, I have absolutely, in, you know, 99.9% of all suicides, I have absolutely no pity for the person who takes his own life. A few years ago when we lost Mike Awesome, you heard me tear a strip off of him. People who take their own lives are cowards. They're not hurting themselves. They're gone. They hurt their family and their friends. And those are the people who are left to deal with a tragedy like that. When I was a teenager, my cousin committed suicide. She killed herself. Turns out she was pregnant, so she took two lives. And my aunt was never the same after that. Never the same. I was talking with Rock, and I'm about to get a little personal here, so please bear with me. I was speaking with Rock when I heard that Canyon died, and he and I chatted about it on Skype. And I hear somebody, oh, he died from suicide. I stop and I think about the life I've led, and all of these things that people would call reasons, excuses for me to take my own life and commit suicide. Apparently, I was suicidal when I was 2 years of age. We were out someplace in the mountains, and I got locked in the back of the station wagon because I kept trying to jump off the side of a mountain and kill myself. I'm not a happy baby. When I was the first 4 years of my life, nobody knew what was wrong with me. Finally discovered I was born with a hole in my stomach, and we found that out because all I ever did was complain about stomach aches, and these were serious, severe stomach aches that would bend a grown man in half. This is what I had practically almost all the time. And the only time it didn't really hurt a whole bunch was if I had a lot of milk. And to this day, I still drink a lot of milk. Nowadays, I just use a lot of cookies to help wash it down. But turns out I was born with a hole in my stomach. Well, we didn't find that out until my mom threatened to take me to the hospital to see the doctor. And I finally said, what the hell are you, 4 years old, what are you waiting for? So I get to the doctor, and they find the hole, and boom, I'm all patched up. I get the odd stomach ache right now. The hole in my stomach, it's all healed up, scabbed over, and every now and then, it just, every now and then, once in a blue moon out of nowhere, it'll feel like I've been punched in the gut with brass knuckles. And it just out of nowhere, boom, and I've gotten to the point in my life where I can sit down and I'm expecting it at any time, and I'm ready for it, and you will never really know that I'm in any kind of pain at all if I don't say anything, so there's that. That was 4 years old. What are you going to do, right? As I got a little older, got into school, my life took a bit of a turn, and I was bullied. I got picked on, I got beat up, I got put into the hospital about 5 times because of bullies. Had the living crap kicked out of me. I'd come home after school with a black eye, a bloody nose, a swollen lip, and my old man will look at me and say, well, whatever the hell you did, you deserved it. It was always my fault, and my old man would be the type of guy that would say to me, I really wish I could tell my friends that I'm proud of you. I wish I could tell my friends that yes, this is my son, and yada, yada, yada. So I got a lot of negative reinforcement from the old man. I haven't talked to him since, I haven't sat down with him in the same room since 2003. I don't hate him. I just don't care. He was never really there. I accepted that. A lot of people can't accept it. A lot of people who can't accept it, still looking for acceptance from daddy, will take their own lives because they don't get daddy's acceptance. I could fucking care more. I really couldn't care less. My head screwed on straight for the most part. I have a son that I'm responsible for that I don't ever get to see because his mother is a real piece of fucking work. There's another reason for depression, okay? I don't take any kind of drugs or any kind of medication at all for clinical depression. I suffer from clinical depression. I get past it through sheer willpower. And I haven't even scratched the surface of all the excuses I could use to slice my wrists right now. But I have gone through more in one lifetime than any 15 or 20 people have, and I'm still standing. And I have had suicidal thoughts in my life. And I have stopped and thought, well, what the fuck is this going to solve? And it's a case of, fuck you, watch me, I'm going to get through this. And if I can do this, stop, you know, looking back at what has been my life to this point. And if I can get through this, there's no fucking reason you can't get through what your problem is. All right, Chris Canyon, Chris Clexartis, whatever you want to call yourself, fine. You come out of the closet and you're gay and you want to accuse the WWE of firing you because you're homosexual. Listen, if that was the truth, Pat Patterson would have been gone a long fucking time ago. So don't tell people that you got fired from WWE because you're a fag. All right, you got bipolar disorder. Get it checked out. You got medication. The medication works. Stay on the fucking medication. You shouldn't be left by yourself. Find somebody that is with you. All right? There's my rant. Okay? There's my rant. If you're going to off yourself, if you're thinking about offing yourself, go away. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to know you. Because all you're going to do is hurt the people you leave behind. It's the coward's way out. One thing I'm not is a coward.
You know, this is again going to sound dickish of me, and I quite frankly don't care. There are a lot of people who yes, there are certain situations for them where they firmly believe that suicide is the only way out. It's the only way to ease the problem. There are people, Tim, who have it a lot worse than you've ever imagined having it in your lifetime. And I understand you've got issues. We've all got fucking issues.
Everybody has issues. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there who had it worse than I had.
I know. But I'm trying to defend a few people overall. Thing with Canyon, though. This is the thing that aggravates me with a lot of people with depression and whatnot who do take their own life. They believe that it's the only way out, that the medication's not working, that whatever the doctor says, you know, it's gonna be wrong and there's no hope in fixing them ever. And it's quite frankly a lot of bullshit. I have a friend who will remain nameless, who suffers from clinical depression, severe clinical depression, and she is bipolar. Do you know what the number one medication is for bipolar, Tim?
Not off the top of my head.
Lithium.
Okay, yeah.
They treat it with lithium. Lithium does horrible, horrible things to the human body. I mean, it's not going to kill you, but it does make you sick. It does make you worse for a while. It makes you loopy. It'll make you forget shit. It'll leave you as a zombie. It does a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I can understand why bipolars wouldn't want to take that medication, because why would I want to feel like that all the time when I have bipolar? I only feel like that a little bit of the time off the meds. Like, I can understand that. I can get that. Having ADD and having ADHD and having been on Ativan, I can understand why some are like that. But the overall excuse of, you know, my life sucks, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms. Guess what, dude? Life fucking sucks. It's fucking hard. Get a fucking helmet and move on.
Well, there's the thing right there. If somebody's throwing rocks at your head, put a helmet on. Pick up the rocks and throw them back. Now, I'm speaking figuratively, not literally, naturally. But
throw rocks. It's fun.
You know,
spoiling your fun, Tim.
Well, it's all in fun until you lose an eye. But anyway, not to be callous, not to be callous or anything like that. but I, you know, in 99.99% of the cases, there's no reason to off yourself. Really, there isn't.
Oh, you're right, there isn't. But if you're talking about a girl who, you know, is continuously raped by family members, molested, you know, all of that stuff, then I can understand.
No, if you're continually raped by family members and molested, go to the fucking cops.
If nothing, here's the thing.
Out of that house.
If nothing is done about it.
Okay, guys, we're like going way off topic.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're
tangenting down a road 50 miles back, dude.
You know, Mace is right. Mace is right.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we should tighten this up a little bit. But if you have any input, anything to say about this, Mace, now's your time.
Well, you know, like I've already said, you know, I'm not favorable with the idea of suicide. I've had people take their lives. Believe me, I've thought about it many times myself, to the point where I was actually diagnosed with bipolar. However, I don't think that's the case, as I've pretty much been able to drag myself out of whatever state, whether it was actually bipolar or whether it was just standard depression. But I just don't want us to lose track and sort of focus on the fact that Canyon did take his own life. You know, we do have other shows that do listen to us, and I know that if we do get too negative, they will point us out on this.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of talking about the way, and this is something that I would have brought up if I was part of this network when Chris Benoit did what he did, let's not focus on how it ended. Let's try and focus on what he did. You know, the guy did some amazing things in the ring in WCW in his time as Mortis, even though that whole Blood Runs Cold storyline was the biggest load of crap in wrestling. But the guy himself made the Mortis character work really well, and then eventually morphed into Chris Kanyon, then eventually going through Positively Kanyon. Then he was just, you know, who's better than Kanyon?
Yeah.
You know, the guy gave some very entertaining, not only matches, but promos and segments. You know, as I've already pointed out, the Master of the Swimming Pool Flip Bump.
Yeah.
Why do I say that? Because he did the small storyline with Raven, where they were going into Raven's past, and I think Raven pushed Kanyon, and Kanyon did a full-blown flip bump into the swimming pool, and it was hilarious.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, it's just, let's try and focus on what the man has done with his life rather than how he ended his life. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, very well put, and a very good point. Omega, your turn. Anything?
I've pretty much said my piece here about this, and it's, I mean, regardless of the circumstances around it, you know, we lost a great entertainer that honestly I never felt really got his due. I mean, to shine in WCW and then just fade away, I thought was unfortunate. And the Canyon's one of those guys I really would like to see back one of these days. I mean, maybe not in the ring, but he had a personality to him that I missed from the WCW days. And, you know, I mean, regardless of the circumstances, it's, you know, it's a loss that I'm hesitant to accept. I'm just.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we take a break and move on?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, it's time for us to take a break and come back. We're going to be a little bit more happy and a little bit more on topic. But, hey, everybody, listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about pushes on the other side of this quick little timeout. We'll be right back.
Stand still in time.
you have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man, as we have the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Come on, I'm just joking. But listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. Right? We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist, genius.
You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is
buck math.
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes every Friday right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Do we have somebody calling in? Some
no,
kid
you
in
don't.
The bar named Will?
Hello.
Hello.
Work sucks. Hi, everybody.
How you doing, Will?
I'm spick and span clean after taking a shower. Other than that, my feet fucking hurt, and it's burning up here.
Oh, well, then I recommend sit on your ass and open the window.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan.
There you go.
But before we get into it, I've just got something to ask everybody. Whenever you hear that music, which is Crazy Train by Osborne,
yeah,
do you still picture Chris Masters standing on the ramp dancing his man boobies?
No.
Okay.
At least I didn't until you mentioned it. I mean, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yes. You're welcome, hey, Master, Tim.
Hey, Masters, here's your whole gimmick. Jiggle, 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 jiggle.
What I want you to do is go up there and make your boobs move. You go up with the left, and then you go up with the right as the left comes down, but do it really fast. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're going to do. We got you booked, okay? Don't worry about it. Go for it. It's all good.
Hey, it got him more over than he's actually trying to be the masterpiece.
You might have a point there. Yeah, somebody thinks...
I know.
What?
Masterpiece had a personality to him. He's the modern narcissist, and it worked for him.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Chris Masters Peck's getting more of a push than the rest of them lately. Speaking of which, it's time to talk about pushes. Who should get pushed and why? Why are certain people not pushed? I am going to start with the two independent professional wrestlers on the show. And we're going to be going down under. Mace, who deserves to get pushed when it's time for somebody to get pushed?
Are you asking me to actually name somebody or to name...
Not somebody specifically. But when the promoter says, okay, we're going to push Joe Blow, what, like, the requisites?
For that, I would say it's somebody that has performed extremely well on shows, who has been able to get his gimmick over with the crowd, and that... See, now you're trying to make me think. I don't like thinking, Tim. It's basically how well somebody can get themselves, their gimmick, and their connection with the crowd over. If you're able to do that, then you deserve to get some sort of push. Might not be to a title or to a main event storyline, but you at least deserve something more than just getting your ass kicked at the start of every show. That would be the end of the answer, Tim.
I figured, but now I'm saying Spug.
Part of what May said is absolutely true. Guy who's able to get over the crowd, the guy who is able to sell himself, not only his gimmick, but himself, to the promoter in the back, the other guys in the back, the crowd, everything. It's not, you know, the guy who sells merchandise. There's a lot of that involved. But there's a lot of unseen things involved for the guys that get the pushes on the indie circuit. And I'm speaking just of the indie circuit. It's the guy who shows up to set up and tear down even when he doesn't have to. It's the guy who calls the promoter to find out when the next show is, if they need any help with it. Do they need, you know, a hookup trying to get some advertising out? They need somebody to go stand at a club during a, you know, during a Monday Night Raw if WWE happens to be in town to hand out flyers for the show. You know, it's the guy who may not always be the most talented, the best looking, or have the physique. But as Ted DiBiase said, it's the guy with the most heart. It's the guy willing to go the extra mile to make sure that not only his match and his opponent and himself look good, but everybody else in that promotion looks good. That's the guy that get, those are the guys that get the pushes in the independent companies.
Okay, Omega, as somebody who is a fan of professional wrestling and watches it all the time and sees John Cena getting the title belt and all that other fun stuff, and everybody ignores Kofi Kingston, yada yada yada. What's your impression on the criteria for who should get a push?
Well, a lot of it has been said already, and you know there are things like work ethic for starters. And of course, in-ring quality and the ability to get their character over with the crowd. So some of the biggest dropped balls. When I think the guys who should have gotten the push and who are doing a good job of, you know, getting their gimmick over, even if it was a really horrid gimmick, and the guys who really deserved a push because the crowd was just eating it up because of them, not because of what the writers made them do. I think of guys like Paul Burchill as the pirate, who was over as hell and got nothing out of it. And the perfect example of the person getting the gimmick over, not the gimmick getting the person over, was Big Vito when he was wrestling in the dress. I mean, that's the dumbest gimmick I have ever heard of. But you know what? Son of a bitch made it work.
He made it work, and he made you believe that he was sincere when he said he didn't want to take it off.
Yeah, well, that, and you knew he was having fun with it. You know, it's a shit gimmick. You know, he didn't have anything. You know, it really wasn't going to take him anywhere, but damn it, he went out there and he had fun with it, and the crowd knew it. And the crowd ate that up, and he deserved to be pushed to the moon for that. And they did nothing. They fired him. I mean, it was horrible of them to do. But that's one thing that really, that what he showed in doing that, and the one reason why John Cena's push, despite the mixed crowd reactions, despite the limited ring work, the one thing that justifies his push is passion for the business. You know that, you know, they know, you know, they have a passion for being in the ring and entertaining the crowd, whether they're getting booed or cheered, you know, and whatever they're given, they're thrilled to do it because they're in that ring. They're in front of those people, and they have a time to shine in the spotlight. That's what really, to me, qualifies someone for a push.
Okay. Well, seeing as you finally joined us just at the right time, the question now goes to you.
I've really got nearly nothing to add. Everyone pretty much covered it. The only thing I can really elaborate on is the John Cena thing. I mean, despite his limited ring work, well, allowed limited ring work, because when the guy first came in, you know, the crowd just instantly was right behind his ass. He had aggression. His look was generic, but he was able to connect with the crowd. He got the stupid Thugonomics gimmick over, and just, you know, despite what he is today, the guy is without a doubt one of the, if not the hardest worker in the business. He makes all the appearances he's asked to. He goes out of his way to show up here and there. The guy just has no low setting when it comes to working for this business. And, you know, despite as much as I often hate on the guy, that right there is enough to say, you know what, this guy deserves something. So, for that, like, I guess a good case would be Carlito. You know, he's often reported to just be a guy who does, he's almost apathetic about where he is in the business. He's like, oh, I'm here, whatever. The guy that's shown, he can pull off some good matches. He has great athleticism, but if he doesn't give a shit, why should anyone else?
You know what comes into play with getting pushes, Tim? The two E's. Are you going to earn it, or do you feel entitled to it?
Earning versus entitlement. That's a very good point, Spug. And I simply have, before I get into this a little bit further, I have I've got a question for both you and Mace. If I can remember what the hell the question was. Okay, as a professional wrestler, Spug, do you want to be pushed, or do you want to go out there and have a match and then get paid and then be invited back to the next show?
Here, it's going to sound funky, and I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. I particularly don't care if I get pushed or not. I'm at a point in my life and with wrestling where I realize it's not going to take me, you know, to the WWE, I'm never going to be on that stage.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, leave the pushes for the guys in the company who might get there. You know, there are a few in the promotion that I wrestle for that have the ability, the talent, and the drive to get to that stage, to get to the WWE. So okay. Leave the pushes for them. I'm happy to show up at 1 p.m. on a Sunday, help set the ring up for a 3 o'clock show, wrestle in the first, second, or third match, give the crowd, you know, a good show, stay, tear down, and go home. I mean, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Mace, same question for you, Mace.
Well, to be honest, I'm pretty much in the same boat as Spug. I'm at this point in wrestling that I know I'm never going to make a living out of it, especially seeing as I'm in Australia, which if you ask TNA or WWE, they really don't give a shit about Australian wrestlers. They're more interested in hiring fucking our export stars and fucking TV personalities. But, you know, I'm happy to show up, do what I've got to do, and go home. Hell, I'm trying at the moment to get on a show at the end of this month as a referee of all things because I realize I'm not going to get much of a chance as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I've realized recently, my hip muscles are fucked. My back is getting worse. I need to slow down, and rather than try and kill myself for the business for the sake of getting a push and becoming the best in Australia, rah rah rah, I just got to be happy with what I can get and just be on a show. As long as I'm living the dream, I'm happy.
That, you know what, Mace just brought up something else that I forgot to add to my little explanation.
What's that?
When, you know, about who deserves a push. You know, the worker that deserves the push is not only the guy that does all of the things that we listed off, but it's also the guy that when the promoter comes up to him and says, hey, our cards kind of stacked tonight, and we don't have you in anything right now, so would you mind either working, you know, a dark match, and it's kind of weird to have a dark match at an indie show, but it does happen.
Yep.
You know, would you mind working a dark match, or would you mind using this extra referee shirt we have and being a ref for the night? Or, you know, would you mind helping out the concessions or whatever? It's that guy who goes, sure, not a problem. That's the guy that's going to get the push quicker than the guy that, you know, might be wearing the championship belt at that point in time, but may have not gotten a push to get it. Because that also does happen in the indies.
Okay. Now, the two other guys that I haven't talked to yet, that question doesn't apply to them. I got a different question for both Will and Omega. It's the same question for both of you guys. Will, does Natty Neidhart... What's that?
Go to Omega first. I'm about to call in on Skype, so go to Omega first.
Okay, we'll go to Omega first. Omega, does Natty Neidhart deserve a push in WWE?
From what I've seen, hell yes. I mean, look at the people who are being pushed right now. I mean, we're done with the Attitude Era, but we're still really only paying attention to the really big titty girls, you know, and have absolutely no personality, nothing to do in the ring, and are terrible on a microphone. Whereas you have Natty, who seems to be able to work a mic just fine. I know she can wrestle better than anyone else in that company right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to actually pretend like you have a women's division, you should at least focus on the wrestling and not, like, these stupid little inane storylines. The last two storylines in women's wrestling have focused around name-calling. I mean, yeah. Shit that wouldn't start a fight on a third-grade playground.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, absolutely. Especially if it can introduce some really quality wrestling into a women's division, I'm all for it. Let's please give Natty a push.
Okay, so you think Natty should be given a push because she's a great wrestler?
Yeah, because she brings something that isn't there right now.
Okay, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting for Will to pick up on Skype here, so we could ask him the same question. We're having connection problems there. I really can't go any further and make my point until Will has given his answer on this one, because I do have something to point out where Natty Neidhart is concerned. But while I'm waiting for him to come back on, while we are all waiting for him to come back on, do you think, Omega, do you think that what we saw last Monday night in the WWE ring with the Hart Dynasty getting the rub from Uncle Brett is essentially the genesis of the push for them?
I would suppose it would have to be. It is something that was obvious. I mean, we were expecting it ever since we found out that Brett was coming back to the WWE, that eventually the Hart Dynasty would get a rub, and I'm happy that they're pushing them as a face team rather than somehow try and get a rub from Uncle Brett while still trying to be the heel faction on SmackDown.
Well, what's the best way to turn the Hart Dynasty face?
They pulled the easiest way is to hook him up with Uncle Brett.
Yeah, they did it at WrestleMania, you know, when Vince hired the Hart family to be the Lumberjacks. And then they went and gave Vince the heart attack.
Yeah, and a hell of a one on the outside.
Oh man, that looked very painful. I mean, kudos to David Hartsmith, as the rest of the world knows him, Harry Smith, for what he did to protect Vince. It looked like Vince really took it really hard and landed right on the back of his head. He didn't. I could tell you right now that it would have been like landing on top of a cloud the way that Harry pulled that move off. If you guys, you know, like if anybody knows anything about how to pull off a wrestling move, you know, Mason Spugg will.
Vince landed very softly. We'll just put it that way. As soft as you can land on the outside on that padding. That padding, because that padding is not thick. It does not feel good to land on, but
yeah, like I was going to say before I got interrupted, I'm pretty sure they'll back me up on this. They made it look great, all right. And this is the training that wrestlers coming through Calgary have gotten ever since wrestling was being taught in Calgary by the people in this town who, you know, train professional wrestlers. Make it look good. And they made it look good. It looked devastating, even though it wasn't. And so if anybody was ever, oh, my God, Vince hurt himself. No, he didn't get hurt. Trust me on this one. Trust me. But now that we finally got Will, same question I asked Omega. Do you think Natty Neidhart should have a push?
Oh, hell yeah. The women in WWE are just one of the most misused, mishandled, just boring pieces of shit divisions I've ever had the misfortune of ever watching.
Okay.
And we know there are women that can wrestle in the women's division. Gail Kim, Beth Phoenix, yep. Mickie James, Natty. Yep. And just, I think that alone, just, she has a look. She is a very beautiful looking woman. She has that look already. It's just, you sit there and wonder, why haven't they pulled the trigger on... I understand she's always accompanies the Hart Dynasty, but if you put the Hart Dynasty in a real run for the tag titles, you get Natty on a track to the Women's Championship. That right there, you know, these are three people who legitimately are some of the best you've got in your company, and there's no reason they should be sitting around with really nothing to go for.
Yep. Well, the last Tuesday night, Hot Shot Johnny Devine was on OWW Radio, and he made a very, very salient point, something that I agree with and always have agreed with, and I've always seen it that way, so I've never gotten into the, oh, you know, he's, you know, R-Truth is over with everybody, he deserves a title, he should be pushed. Here's the thing. Here it is.
Spike, you're at a show. Your promoter comes up to you and says, I need this guy to look good. Go do that for me. How does that make you feel, Spug?
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That make you feel like, oh wow, you know, the promoter wants me to make this guy look good.
Yeah, it's a sense of pride and a badge of honor. I mean, I look at it, it's usually accompanied by the question of, well, how do you want him to look good? Do you want him to look like a behemoth, or do you want him to look like he barely squeaked one out? You know, I mean, that's how I usually answer that question.
Okay.
It's a badge of honor.
Okay, to cut you off, same question to Mace. Mace, promoter comes up to you and says, Mace, I need you to make the Outback Jack look absolutely like dynamite. Can you do that for me?
Different promoter.
Yeah.
Obviously a different promoter. Obviously we're going back in a different time period too, because Outback Jack hasn't wrestled in years.
There's only about five people.
Why anybody would trust me with that type of distinction would be beyond me, as I'm still considered a rookie in these parts.
But anyway,
if a promoter did come up to me and say, you know, we want you to put him over to make him look like $1 million, I just go, sure thing, boss, and just go on about it, you know, then sit down with Jack and say, okay, what classic bits do you want to bring out? You know, is there anything you need done? Here's what I can do, and let's work it from there.
Now, personal feeling, when the promoter comes to you constantly and says, get this guy over, make that guy look good, this guy has to be $1 million because he's good on the mic, he's pretty, and the girls throw their wet panties in the ring for him. So we need to make him look good. And they come to you week after week after week to tell you, you gotta get all these different guys looking really good. And they're using you to make them look good. How does that make you feel personally as a wrestler?
Well, of course, the instant reaction's going to be is like, okay, why the hell am I having to get all these guys over? Why isn't somebody getting me over? But then, you know, so of course the jealousy monster decides to poke his head in the door and say, what's up? you know, but I've always been very logical. I always sit down afterwards and go, okay, let's take a look at this situation again. When I look at a situation like that, if I'm the guy getting everybody over, that means the promoter has more faith in me than more people on his roster, because I'm the one that's getting his stars over. I'm the guy that he comes to help make these guys look like $1 million. Uh-huh. I've got the guaranteed job, whereas if they fuck up, they lose their push, they can be out of the company, whereas, you know, I have a bad match with them, oh well, you know, it's a one-off. If I keep doing it, well then I'm out the door.
Can I throw a name out there?
Yep.
The Brooklyn Brawler.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay. The Brooklyn Brawler was used to get a roster's worth of wrestlers over in the day. Was he not?
Triple H, Hulk Hogan. There's numerous wrestlers. And you think about it, that doing that, when a promoter comes to you and says, I need you to get this guy over, I need you to get that guy over, you know what that is? That's faith and trust from the promoter that's not saying, hey, we're turning you into a glorified jobber, because a glorified jobber just goes out there and gets squashed. The glorified jobber is the local guy who comes in for the new talent that's debuting that night for WWE.
And the match is over within 60 seconds of the bell ring. That's your jobber right there.
That's your glorified jobber. If you get told on a weekly basis, a bi-weekly basis, or whatever, from your promoter, hey, you know, we got Outback Jack in. He's finally decided to come to our territory. He's going to wrestle in our promotion. We need you to put him over and make him look good. That shows a tremendous amount of faith from your promoter and you, that we got nobody else that can do what you do.
Yep. Okay. Now, guys, everybody, take turns answering this question. How many times have we seen Natty Neidhart wrestle somebody else who can wrestle, like Gail Kim, like what's her name, the Glamazon, like Mickey James, you know, the girls who can wrestle. How many times has she been in the ring with them?
None.
Yet. Will kind
yeah,
of
she,
sweet
yeah, she,
fuck
yeah,
and
yeah, she,
old.
Yeah, she had a couple matches, but nothing substantial, nothing against anyone else that could put on a good match.
Yeah, okay. Now, look at all the girls that Natty was in the ring with. Are Mara. They any more really than supercharged eye candy?
No.
Are you getting my point before I spell it out?
I know where you're going.
Oh, you know where I'm going.
Where you're going with this.
Yeah, May should probably know where I'm going.
That Natty's suffering because the women she's wrestling against can't get her over?
No. Smartass. Smartass, you did that on purpose. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Whoever it is booking the matches on SmackDown, be it Steph or Vince or what the fuck ever, okay? Who the fuck ever? They're saying, Natty, make Michelle McCool look good. Natty, make Layla look good. Natty, make Jane Blowjobber look good.
Jane Blowjobber? I thought her name was Michelle McCool.
Well, I already said Michelle McCool. I was thinking of another one. But anyway, WWE is paying Natty the highest compliment a promotion can pay a wrestler. They're saying, look, you've got the most talent on this fucking roster. You're already over with 95% of the WWE viewers. If you're over, you don't need the push. Despite all the fans saying, oh, I want her to have the belt because she looks like I could fuck her brains out. Whatever. Right? Think about it, right? You know,
I am thinking about it.
That could apply to, you know, Mickey James, or in Tony's case, it could apply to Drew McIntyre. I don't care. The point is, Heartbreak Mike in the chat room says, who would win, Natalya or China? Randy thinks China. I'll tell you the truth, because I happen to know for a fact. Natty Neidhart, okay?
I don't know, dude. That penis would come into play. I think Natty'd be a little bit afraid of that.
Well, no, it would have to be a penis handicap match. Fact of the matter is, Natty can wrestle circles around anybody in the current roster. Both Raw and SmackDown. She can wrestle circles around any of them. All right?
Okay, you gotta specify women. You gotta specify women, because
any women on the roster. She could out-wrestle half the fucking guys, too.
Half of them?
Three quarters of them. Pound for pound. On the other side of that Hart Dynasty, pound for pound, there is no better wrestler than TJ Wilson. You know, Tyson Kidd. He has forgotten more moves than most of anybody on either roster combined. No.
You're being a bit of a homer now, boy.
No, I'm not being a homer. No, I'm not being a homer on this, okay? It's just, I'm being a little bit of an I'm exaggerating the tiniest little bit.
That's being a homer.
You know, put him in the ring with Chris Jericho. Different story. Put him in the ring with Edge. He would school Edge. Okay?
Fact of the matter is,
pound for pound, Tyson Kidd, T.J. Wilson, is pretty much the best wrestler on that roster. Go ahead, Mace.
Well, it's like we said when the whole NXT concept came up and they were pairing the people up. You know, Bryan Danielson can friggin' teach The Miz more about wrestling than The Miz would ever know in his lifetime. There's always going to be somebody out there that has amazing talent that has forgotten more moves than half of these guys in the spotlight will ever know.
You will never see Tyson Kidd as the WWE champion or the World Heavyweight champion.
Exactly. But the thing is, the thing that gets those guys the pushes is pretty much part of what we've been talking about so far, but the other part has been how much merchandise they can sell. You got to remember, WWE is a business. It's not wrestling anymore. It's a business.
Yeah, it's entertainment and revenue and stuff like that. But getting back to Natty, it's pretty much it's the biggest compliment that WWE could pay any wrestler. And don't be fooled. Don't be thinking for one second that Natty will be used permanently to push other people and never get her chance in the spotlight. Oh, she'll get it. When she does get it, it will last longer than the current ones, than the ones currently in the spotlight.
Sure, it'll take all the big-tittied whores getting pregnant to do so, but she'll get it eventually.
No, it's not going to take all the big-titted whores getting pregnant to do so. It's going to happen. She is going to wind up being, you know, the main event of all of the women's matches. She'll be the main eventer. Doesn't say a fuck of a lot when you consider it's WWE and their idea for a main event is the Hog Splash. But we got a caller on the line, some white guy from Washington D.C. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How's it going? I got a couple of questions, and it's concerning the whole Natalia thing. This is a question actually to Tim. I've asked Johnny Devine about it, and I'm going to ask you. Do you think Natalia would be better off in TNA?
Well, she'd have better competition. She wouldn't have the global exposure that WWE has.
Right.
You know, so would she be better off in TNA? It depends on what she wants. Really.
Right.
She wants to go out there and wrestle matches every week all the time and not get paid a hell of a lot.
Right?
Or does she want to get paid as much as she can get paid? You know, does she want to earn as much as she can get and, you know, yeah, be used as somebody to get the rest of the roster over and then be given her time to shine?
That's true. The reason why is because, like, they did the same thing with Victoria. Once Victoria debuted in WWE, she was dominating. Same thing with Natalia. But when all said and done, when they found out, hey, she could wrestle, she's not just eye candy, they said, you know what, we're going to let you go down for a while. Because I have seen Natalia wrestle Beth Phoenix one-on-one on a YouTube. I forgot what it was, but those two in a match, that's like pure skill and everything. So, I would have, like what you said, I would like to see her in TNA for the simple reason is that you have people with pure skill over WWE's version of the beautiful people. Ugh.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. Living in Calgary here, when Stampede Wrestling was running, their women's division consisted of Natty, and that was it. And because there weren't any other female wrestlers in the territory, once in a blue moon, they'd pull somebody from the Vancouver promotion if they could get her in. And she'd wrestle, and the match was the match of the night. It was the show stealer, Natty and whoever. I have seen so many Stampede Wrestling shows where Natty is taking on members of the roster, guys, and she's making them look like $1 million. And she's making them look better than any other guy that, any other guy on the roster would make them look. Not through lack of trying, but because she's that good. It goes back to what I said at the beginning of the night. Shawn Michaels had a wrestling match with a ladder, according to Ric Flair, and Razor Ramon just happened to show up. Okay, right. Shawn Michaels can make a ladder look good. Natty could make it look great.
Hmm.
Only because I like the way she's built, as opposed to the way Shawn Michaels is built. Get it?
Okay.
But no, but you've had the chance to see Shawn Michaels naked, though.
Never. Never, ever. I swear I never borrowed Spud's Playgirl.
He did, he's lying.
I did not. That was not, no.
He did. He's lying. He did. He borrowed it.
Anyway.
Did it come back sticky?
Oh, dude, it didn't come back at all.
All right. Where's the fucking button? How do I hang up on Omega? Anyway, it's a bug. Anyway, no, like, all farting around aside. Seriously. Natty wrestling like Alex Plexus. Who else she wrestle? She took on Mahatma Dandy. And a bunch of other guys. Made them look like $1 million. Some of the best wrestling matches I've seen were between Natty Neidhart and Belle Lovitz. And I am fortunate enough to actually have those matches on some DVDs that I have. So if I want to watch a good woman's match, I'll pop that in and watch those two tear it up. But this goes back to my, you know, like, pushes. For whatever reason they feel they need to push Michelle McCool, aside from the fact that she goes down on Undertaker after WrestleMania, there's a reason why she's getting pushed. There's a reason why Layla gets that push. There's a reason why, what's her name, gets that push. There's whatever reasons they got going. Those things are not going to last. Natty is in for the long haul, and it's a nice climb until she's like completely accepted and all this other stuff. She's already over. She doesn't need to be chasing titles yet. She doesn't need to hold it. Okay? So it's going to happen. It will happen for her. And this, you know, this time next year, the Hart Dynasty is going to be the force in WWE. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be that way for a long time to come. That's one faction, one stable. That's not going to get broken up anytime soon. Unlike, you know, Evolution and all those other ones that you have.
Okay. So. Well, then here's a question for the whole panel. In the future, can you see Natalya pulling a Chris Jericho and managing to snag both women's championships?
You're talking at the same time?
Yep. Pulling a Chris Jericho and snagging both the titles.
Not possible. They won't let that happen to the belts. They'll retire one of the women's belts before they let a wrestler hold both at once.
Now, if they reunite the brands, we'd see that. But as it stands right now, I don't think so.
Well, if TNA starts pulling off 2.0s, then they'll seriously consider reuniting the brand and getting rid of this bullshit.
You should go in the stand-up comedy.
I said if.
Tim made it funny.
I said if. Come on, you guys, listen. I said if.
What parallel universe does that if come from?
It was this the point where I mocked Tim?
Isn't that the whole show?
Not allowed to pick on me if I say if.
You're goddamn right we're allowed to pick on you.
No, you're not. I said if. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I just said if. Basically, the point is the brand extension is here. Deal with it. Or the, you know, the brand split, rather. So there. Uh-huh.
Well, guys, you know, I had fun, but I must be going. Spug, I'll see you later in the week, I think. Hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be in Ohio, like, the whole week. Well-ish.
He had a party the other night, and I went as a ghost and wore my sheet, and apparently it didn't sit well with all the other black people there, so he's coming to beat my ass in Ohio.
Shut up.
I told you to get rid of the pointed head.
It was Spug. He thought it was a dunce cap.
Well, dude, that pillow, I told you, that pillowcase has always been pointed on the one corner. And I don't know how
you guys wear your dunce cap underneath a ghost costume.
Sorry.
Damn.
Suck up on grape drink.
Oh, dude,
shut
I tell
up.
You what.
Oh,
I tell
God.
You what, the corner store down by my house has all the grape and orange drink you could ever want. And they have fried chicken, so you'll be in heaven.
Shut up, Spug. Oh,
Mike, when you see Spug, and once you get all of the, hey, how you doing out of the way, kick him in the nards, say it's from me.
Okay, I will.
Okay, and then go to your party and have fun. Thanks for calling, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All righty, key, yeah. Just a reminder, the phone lines are open, 888-357-9876. Option one, or Sir Rockin' on the Skype mechanism on your interwebs.
So can we end this soon? I gotta get to bed.
So, yeah, we're actually going to jump to the click hits pretty quick here. But just to wrap it up, if you're over with the crowd, you don't need a push. You're going to earn the push. It'll eventually come. If for some reason, whatever the reason is, the promoter needs to have you at the top of the bill for whatever, then you'll eventually, you know, then you're going to get that quick push. But it's, you know, it won't last. Are you ready for click hits?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Woohoo! Yeah, quick hits. We're going to start at the top with Spug so we can get him the hell out of here as soon as possible. Spug! Reports say that after WrestleMania, it was the end of the Mr. McMahon character. Do you believe that we have seen the end of Mr. McMahon the way he's been portrayed over the last decade?
Yes. I do. Because with the Montreal Screwjob, that not only was it the genesis of the Attitude Era and all of that, it was also the genesis of the Mr. McMahon character, because you remember the interview he did with Jim Ross shortly after that. The beatdown that he suffered by Bret Hart at WrestleMania kind of put a finality on the Mr. McMahon character.
Okay, there you go. Mace, the Great Khali has decided to go back to India. What's your favorite Great Khali moment?
Oh, I was hoping you were just asking an opinion, because I was just going to start going, na-na-na-na. Anyway. Great Khali moment.
Going back to India.
No, but believe it or not, it's been this whole Khali kiss cam, you know, just fucking dropping all the bullshit and just having some fun. Great Khali trying to dance, and even his small time team up with Matt Hardy, where for some reason Matt Hardy looked like a mini Khali. It was just when you decide to drop all the crap and just have fun with it. But that being said, goodbye Khali. Don't come back.
Hey, fuck off. Okay, Omega. Did WWE make a mistake by breaking up Crime Time?
Absolutely not. And here's how forgettable Crime Time is. I know WWE had a problem with one of them, and I don't care to remember who. They have not done anything with them. There's only, as long as you're going to pretend like there is no tag team division, then you might as well break them up. Just do something good with, you know, try and do something with, you know, half the team and fire the half you don't like. At least cut the trim. At least cut the fat if the team's not doing anything.
There you go. All right. Will, if you could ask Vince McMahon one question, what would your question be?
Can I have a job?
Is this with the guarantee he'll tell the truth, or is he going to lie?
Oh, and that was stipulated. That was never stipulated. If you could ask him one question, what question would you ask him? No caveats, no if, ands, or whatever.
What is with your boner about big men with muscles who can't wrestle?
Good question. Good answer. Back up to the top. Spug.
Yes.
If you were forced to dress up in a costume and your choices were Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or the Great Pumpkin, which one would you choose and why?
The Great Pumpkin! How can you not choose the Great Pumpkin? You know why? Because it's fucking real, and Linus knew it.
I would say the Great Pumpkin because no one ever sees it, so you wouldn't have to be seen in the damn costume.
That was lame, Mega.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back to the drawing board for you. Mace, if you were to star in a romantic comedy, who would you choose for your co-star?
Who would I choose as my co-star? I'd probably choose Elijah Dushku.
She's so hot.
Oh, shit.
you choose who? It broke out for me.
Elijah Dushku.
Oh, okay.
Go watch Dollhouse, Buffy.
Yep.
Yeah. Better yet, go Bring It On. That's the reason why.
Bring it on. I didn't hear you the first time around. Okay, Omega.
Uh-huh.
If you could give one person on this show a superpower, who would it be and what would the superpower be?
Oh, my God. Here we go. Just because of all the hilarity would ensue and the millions off of YouTube I would make from it, I would give Spug the ability to conjure midgets.
Yes! Just getting the mental image. Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm so in!
All of a sudden, I'm seeing Spug with the Lich King helmet on, and an army of midgets behind him, armed with swords and everything.
Instead of the Lich King, I could be the Midge King.
Yes! Okay, this just makes me want to see that new movie of superheroes. Okay, Will!
Oh, Kick-Ass.
There you go. Will, who do you think is the next Shawn Michaels?
No one. Simple as that.
I like that answer.
That's pretty simple. Should be simple enough for Mike to understand anyway.
Was there an expected answer here?
No, not really. I guess not.
Apparently. If you want me to elaborate on that real quick, the fact is... Shawn Michaels, much like Ric Flair, is just one of those guys who's one of a kind, and while there will be men who will emulate what he did, there will never be another guy to ever come close to pulling off what someone like Shawn Michaels could do.
Good answer. Well, we're pretty much at the end of the show, finally. Wow.
At last.
Before we get out of here, Will, you got something to bring up?
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier with Jack Swagger, for the fact that that's not a terrible April Fool's joke and it's real, cashing in the money in the bank to beat Jericho. I realized that Edge has been involved with every cash-in since the original match back at WrestleMania 21. He wins the first, beats Cena. He spears the shit out of Cena during the second cash-in with RVD. He cashes in the third one. He gets cashed in on by CM Punk for the fourth. The fifth comes after a match where Jeff Hardy just beat him. And then just this most recent one where he beat the shit out of Jericho for Swagger to beat him.
Yep. Edge has been involved in all six Money in the Bank matches, cash-ins.
I don't know. I like little shit like that.
There you go. No, that's perfectly fine. That being said, I want to get out of here. Closing thoughts, Spud.
I'm going to go get laid and get my dick sucked. I'm out.
All right. Mace, closing
and
thoughts.
And one more. Oh, fuck math.
There you go. Mace, closing thoughts.
Enjoy yourselves next week, people, because I won't be here. My internet's going to be going put by the... some point this week, so it's a 50-50 chance if Omega's doing OTL on his own this week.
Ugly.
Alrighty then. Omega, closing thoughts.
You know what? I had something, but I think Spug's little comment wiped it out of my brain.
Oh, kind of scary. Will, closing thoughts.
I got nothing.
Alrighty then. My closing thoughts are, I hope you all had a good Easter Sunday, and you enjoy the statutory holiday that we call Easter Monday, for those of you who don't have to go and work retail. That is. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Don't forget, Tuesday night, OWW Radio. We got another live interview happening. Stay tuned to find out who that is. And then right
watch Nick Butts it up.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we should all gang up on Nick Cullen and punk him up, school him.
Oh, yeah, did anyone school him on this show, too, for the stupid shit he did Tuesday?
Well, we kind of did. Yeah,
okay, just checking.
Just so you know. Coming up on Wrestle Talk Radio, guys, we're going to have an interview with the former Razor Ramon 2, Razor Rick Titan, currently writing a book. We'll bring him on to the show to talk and see where life has taken the former fake Razor. Also coming up, the one, the only, the hot shot, Johnny Devine, returning to Wrestle Talk Radio. That's all coming up in the next few weeks. So make sure you keep checking out Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night at 10 Eastern or after every pay-per-view. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday.
Buy the shirt.
Fuck Murph.
Catchphrase.
Don't put your neck on the line. Don't drown on me, babe. Blow your brains out.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You got a good thing going, baby.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.